Today is January 24th, and we were in the middle of the mitzvah of Shchitas HaPesach, of shechting the Korban Pesach. It'll be a mitzvah of eating it, but the first mitzvah that we're going to deal with is the mitzvah of shechting the Korban Pesach. So we had talked about, we had in our source sheets 13, on the first column, we had looked at the Rambam and the Meir Nesachim, and the Rambam brings down that the Mitzrayim were people who served the tleh. They served the lamb, and it was the mazel. It's the mazel of the month. That's why they served it, and it had great significance to them. And it wasn't just the. It wasn't just the Mitzrayim themselves, but even the Tzava, which Reb Neil here can give you a probably over 2 hour exposition on who they were and what they represented and et cetera. Really fascinating, actually. He told me in very, very short, but I'm sure he can give a long presentation. But in any case, different idol worshippers from over the years that were actually engaged in serving the these sort of animals, and the Rambam also mentions that there were other balei chayim as well, other animals as well, like we find today in India and other Eastern countries where they actually serve these sort of animals. And interestingly, he says therefore that the Rebbeinu Shlom asked us in the Torah, throughout the Torah, that the animals that we shech specifically are those animals that others used to serve and worship. So he says, Mina behema, mina bokar, mina tzayin. Okay. Then he points out that, and this is, I underline this, the beginning of the line is odd, about halfway down. Ad shiyya ha-maisa asher chashvuhu tachlis hamri, bo yiskarvu al Hashem. Or ha-meri. It went by the Rebbeinu Shlom commanding us to shech specifically these animals, this to them should be the most shocking, the most abhorrent sort of activity, and the most bitter activity. And yet, the Rebbeinu Shlom says that by this, you will come closer to me by shechting these animals. And that's the Lashon Karban, you're actually bringing yourself closer to Hashem, etc. So he says, and that's the way, even sins will be atoned for that. And he says, that's really actually the way you remedy when people have illnesses, especially in the chayli hanefesh, in the realm of intellect. The malaise of a person in that area is repaired by way of going to the opposite extreme. Now, the Rambam speaks about this. Anybody know where a very famous Rambam is that speaks about this idea of going to the opposite extreme? Oh, very good. And when he speaks about the Midah of Kas, correct? Oh, yeah. So he says that most of the time, the best way is the Derech HaMemutzah, to go the usual regular way. But when it comes to certain midos, like the midah of kas, it's so terrible you have to go to that. And he says that's the way you avoid it is to go. When a person does have a problem with any midah, you have to go to a little bit more to an extreme in order to bend it back. So let's say a piece of metal was bent out of shape. In fact, in English we have that expression. Oh, he's bent. Oh, right. He's bent out of shape. Right? You got that? He's bent out of shape. Emotionally, he's bent. Oh, he's really bent out of shape. You want to get a guy the opposite way, what you got to do is go, in order to straighten him out, you got to get him to go totally the opposite way. To be too excited and too happy also causes a person not to be settled. I'll just tell you tangentially here, there's a chazal that says, Ein miratzin la'odam b'shas kasei. You cannot appease a person while he is. Traditionally, we translate the word kas as anger. I once had a conversation, several times, but one of the times I had a conversation with a Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he told me that the word kas does not mean anger. Kas means any time the mind is not settled. Very often it could be anger. But sometimes if a person is very excited and he's overly hyper or overly excited, you can't reason with him either. He's too
emotional.
People very often, when they're excited, very excessively excited, they'll do things that are irrational. They'll give away large sums of money, give away property, and then afterwards they regret it. And as a fundraiser, that's why you always go with a, music CD or something. Have them play. But that's what they do in a lot of these places: is they play the music. They play the music. They give you good food. Why? So you should feel more, more generous, right? So I believe I'm told that they do this at the casinos. Correct?
So.
They give you free food and they give you money. Not money. They give you free money too, in a sense. They give, but that's the point. The point is, Emirat Salad Mashas Kasa means when a person's mind is not settled. He brought a proof, and that was from Chana. She said, as Kasiv, as Lachashi. Anyway. But the point is that a person's mind, when they're not settled, is not good. So the only time where it's beneficial to go the opposite way is if you actually have to straighten a guy out. He's very depressed. You bring him a little further the other way, further than the midpoint. But the best place for a person to be is in the middle of the road, to be level-headed, to make decisions, and to have a mind that's settled. So here, what he's saying is that, being that these people felt they had a very extreme view of these animals and the service of these powers, that they should serve them. So the Rebbe Shem said, go to the opposite extreme. Take that which they view as the worst possible thing you could possibly do, which is to actually shech this and bring it to the opposite extreme.
I had a friend who, him and his wife separated, split up, her doing. She does, don't react to her. You continue on the straight path.
And Mechan also says, this pasuk says,
Kamkas, yes.
We're not supposed to upset her, disturb
right.
her, not so much anger.
Right. Where does it say, as Kasi? She also
yes,
says, as
Kasi.
Right. Okay, so, because of this, the Rambam says, therefore, the Rebbeinu Shlom commanded us to specifically use these sort of animals. And then towards the end, it's underlined there, it says, Lahavi Lahamin, to bring us to understand, Shehamaisa Shetachashu Bay, Shehu Siba Memisa, Hu Hamatzel Menambavis. That which they thought would be the most dangerous thing to do, it would cause death and destruction. And that the Rebbeinu Shem says, no, this is going to actually save from death. You'll shech the animal and you'll put the blood on the doorpost, and that's actually going to save you from the Malach HaMoves. Unbelievable. Pesach Hashem al Pesach, while Yitin HaMashlet Lavai, El Boteichem Lingayif, he won't allow the Malach HaMoves to inflict his damage. Gmul Pirsum HaAveda. Basayis Kol Mashahayu Marchikin Ayisay Ayivdei Aveda Zara. This will be in exchange, as we will get in exchange for showing that we're distancing ourselves from the ways of the pagan ways of the idol worshippers. So the Rebbeinu Shlom in that merit saved us from the Malach HaMoves. I cannot let this Rambam go by without mentioning the joke that I love to say over from Rabbi Becher. You heard of Rabbi Becher, Rabbi Mordechai Becher. Terrific. So he says, imagine the Rebbeinu Shlom commanded the Jewish people to do this. They take the idol of the deity of the Egyptians, and not only they shecht it, they put the blood on the doorpost and there, and then they have to roast it. Why do they have to roast it? The Mepharshim say, why is it? So the smell should waft through the, right? He says, imagine two Egyptians are walking home. Ooh, smells great. What is that? Where's the smell coming from? It's coming from the Goldbergs. Let's look over the fence. And what do you think they said as soon as they looked over the fence and saw what was happening? Oh, my God. Okay, you had to be there. In any case, this is the Rambam. Now, I got to tell you that specifically this Rambam, the Ramban in Chumash goes to town with, and he is very unhappy with this Rambam. He's very unhappy with this Rambam. He brings on this Rambam when he speaks about the reasons for Karbonis in the first place. Before I tell you what the Rambam says, what the Ramban says about this, I'll share with you that aside from the issue of that these sort of animals were the animals that were served by the idol worshippers, an alternative to this, there's a Maral. The Maral says that the Rebbeinu Shlom specifically mentioned a seh because the seh is symbolic of the Jewish people. How's that? The Chachamim, the Chazal, very often refer to the Jewish people as Seh Bezura Yisrael. Lama Nimshali Yisrael Seh, very good. Why are the Jewish people compared to a Seh? Because a Seh, specifically, if he, I'm not a zoologist, but if he is stricken on any one of his limbs, his entire being feels the pain more so than other animals. And the same way as the Jewish people, each component, each part, each human being that's part of the Jewish people is all like one, like one. And there's a famous story with Reb Meir Shapiro, I believe, where in the times of the Bayless trial,
if you, 1912, Russia.
Yep. So right, so in that time, I believe that I believe it was Reb Meir Shapiro. I don't know if that makes sense chronologically.
He was alive then.
Yeah, the question is how old he was. I don't think
he was younger.
Yeah, he must have been in his 20s, or maybe. But in any case, one of the people that was causing trouble there, I believe it was a Jewish person, quoted a Chazal. The Chazal say, "Atam kruyim adam ve'ein, evdikachavim kruyim adam." You're called Adam, based on a pasuk. But you are called Adam. You are called man. You are called man, and the umas ha'ilam are not called man, not called people. So what does that mean? We're not humans. So he said the pshat like this. He said, "Adam means a complete human, one Adam." It doesn't say anoshim, humans. You are not humans. It didn't say you are not humans. You're not Adam, which means to say each one of you is a human being. You have a tzelem elikim. That's wonderful. But to say that one human being is interconnected with the other human being to the point that it's all one, it says when a human body gets some sort of injury on one part, just like we're saying here about a seh, some sort of injury on one part of his hand, on one part of his body, he feels it on the other side. It's all one human being. The Jewish people, he said, look at this trial. The entire Jewish world is aching from what's going on here. Doesn't matter how far you are, how close you are, old, young, men, women, children, everybody is aching from this terrible situation. That's called Adam. That's Adam Krim. That's what Chazal was saying. We're all one. And that's really the message of the says, because that's what we... That's what represents the Jewish people most accurately. But that having been said, the Ramban himself, the Ramban himself quotes this Rambam in Vayikra when he speaks about the Tam HaKarbonis, the reasons for Karbonis, which in itself on the surface seems a little strange. You take an animal, you serve it up, like what? Hashem doesn't eat. He doesn't need all this. And yet it's called Reach Nicheach Hashem. So I don't have the quote of the Ramban from there. Ramban here says something different, and it's understandable. But I'm just going to quote to you from what he says in Vayikra. He says, "Hineheim divrei havoi." These are, pretty harsh, foolish or useless words. Why? He says, what you're doing is Yasu Shulchan Hashem Megul. You're making the Mizbeach of Hashem, the Shulchan of the Rebbeinu Shalom, full of disgusting things. That the whole purpose of the service of sacrifices is only in order to to respond to the Rishayim, to the evil people and the people who are the fools of the world. It says about the Karbanos, it says, Lechem ishe reach nichoyach l'Hashem. This is something that's a sweet smell. This is the Rebbeinu Shalom's Lechem. By the carbon tumen, it says, Karbani lachmi, this is my carbon. If the whole purpose is only in order to give it to the Goyim and to give them a response and to say, oh, you're distorted, you're misguided, if that's the purpose, why is that called Reach Nichayach Lashem? He says, and not only that, he says, if you really dig deeper, you understand that for the way the Rambam puts it is that that which they would consider the worst possible thing to do is actually, the Rebbe Shalom saying, that's what you should do and that's the best thing. And that will cause an atonement and cause salvation from death. He says, for them, he says, to the contrary. The Rambam's incorrect. To the contrary. If you would ask an Egyptian, they were pagans, right? So to take something that is a deity in their own right and serve that up for another deity, that's all playing into the same game that they had. And that's the way they did it. In fact, the Pasuk says, and he quotes the Pasuk that we mentioned, they used to worship the demons. And usually with these sort of things themselves. So he says that this is not going to remedy their disease of the mind. That's number one. Actually, that's number two. Number one is you're making the Rebbeinu, you're cheapening the Rebbeinu Shalom's, the whole service to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Number two, this is playing right into their hands. Number three, he says there were cases in history where people brought Karbanos, and there was no idol worship in the world. What's the point of responding to idol worshippers if they're not there? As an example, give me examples of people who gave sacrifices even though there were no idol worshippers in the world.
For whatever reason.
Noah is an excellent example, and he quotes that, absolutely. What else? How about Cain and Hevel? That was the whole feud that broke out over the... Yes. What are they bringing? What are they making offerings to their bench? The whole purpose of the offering is only in order to lahitzi miliban shel avdei kechavim. If the whole purpose is only a response to those that are mistaken in their service of these items, so if there is no avodah zarah, what's the point? That seems to be a very strong question. So it's very clear, he says, from things like Bilam. You see Bilam himself, right? His purpose was to bring himself closer to the Rebbeinu Shalom so that he'll have some sort of connection to him. He'll be able to use that Shazam, as the Gemara says. He wanted to use that time of anger of the Rebbeinu Shalom, that split nanosecond of anger that the Rebbeinu Shalom has. He wanted to use that to destroy Klai Yisrael. He wanted to come closer to Hashem. So he says, "Karbani lachmi." It's not acceptable to say that this is the purpose of karbanos. And therefore, he goes into his own discussion of what the karbanos are. But just for our purposes, you see that he just doesn't agree in any which way with this Rambam from the Maor Nevuchim that we quoted. So, what does the Ramban say? Let's look back in Shemos. That's the second quote here. The second paragraph is from the Ramban, and he says, "Because the mazel of the chaydesh." The celestial sign of the Chodesh of Nisan is the Tleh. So I have underlined here, Lekach tziva lishchei Tleh v'lechel oisai. So the Rebbeinu Shalom taught us and commanded us to shech the lamb. Why? Lohidia shaloi b'koyach mazel yotzonu misham. It wasn't that we were just opportunists. We have now the mazel of the lamb of the sheep right now. So we'll ride the wave. We'll ride the tidal wave of what do they call that? The sport.
Surfing.
Right. We'll surf the wave, right? Right now, what's the big kayach? What's the big power? It's the tle. Okay, great. Let's ride that, and we'll get out of Mitzrayim. Somehow, people will devise some sort of theory how the Jewish people were able to manipulate it. No, says the Rebbe Shlom. We're going to take all the superpowers that exist in the world, that those that believe that are their superpowers, all the kaychas that exist in the world, they are kaychas. The Rebbe Shlom invested them with the kaychas. But there are these powers in the world. We'll take the strongest of the powers of that moment in order that people do not make a mistake, and we'll shecht it. We'll actually ruin it. Just to show that there's something above this. There's an ultimate power. A power that is the Almighty. He's able to overcome, not just overcome, we know that he invests everything with its power, but certainly even if you were misguided and thought that that there were other powers independently, chas v'shalom to think that way, but if a person did, this would be the greatest display that it is the Rebbeinu Shlom and only the Rebbeinu Shlom was taking them out of Mitzrayim. So it was a symbol, sort of taking their God, of their power, and weakening it, so that it should be very clear that the Rebbeinu Shlom is the one that is the all powerful. Okay, so that those are the Rishonim that we quoted in order to discuss this mitzvah of the reason behind the mitzvah of Shechting the Korban Pesach. Let's see now in the second column here on this source sheet 13. That we have several ideas mentioned in the Sefer Noyam HaMitzvahs.
Who's the Mechaber of the Sefer?
I believe he was a Rebbe, if I'm not mistaken. I have the Sefer upstairs. I forget his last name. I mentioned it the first year, but I believe it was a Rebbe of Rav Shach back in Europe. Okay. So now, the idea of Shechting the Korban Pesach is for the purpose of remembering always the Nisim of the Ribbono Shel Olam for the future. All right, that's the whole idea of the Chag HaPesach and everything else. But the first thing that he mentions is a very interesting thing. He says, Al kein nishchat b'kriyas ha-halel. As the Mishnah tells us in Pesachim, they used to actually sing the Hallel while they were Shechting the Korban Pesach, and that's for the purpose of publicizing the Nisim that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made for us, and fascinating. He says, L'chein nikra ha-chedesh hazeh Nisan. You ever wonder why it was called Nisan? Where are these names we find? They're Greek names.
Well, they're Babylonian names.
Babylonian names, okay. Babylonian names. But he says the reason why it was called Nisan is because in this chedesh, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made Nisim Gedalim. Now, why is it not called Nisim? Nisim is a different question, but it's certain maybe it was a Babylonian name that they used that hinted to this idea. Okay, so number one, the whole purpose of this mitzvah, one of the purposes of this mitzvah is Persume Nisa, to be Mefarsim, to publicize the Nisim that Rebbeinu Shlom gave to us. And in addition, he's saying that's one of the reasons why the month was called Nisan, is because it alludes to the great Nisim that were done to us. And this is what we meant. This is what is spoken about by the Ramban, and we mentioned it last time, at the end of Parshas Bo, where he speaks about the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom won't do these sort of open miracles to anybody and everybody. He won't do it to the average Joe. What will he do? He won't do it for the average Joe. Rather, he did it a one-time occurrence, a one-time revelation, and gave us many mitzvos to prolong the memory of those mitzvahs. Okay. Okay, then number three here, we have here, he talks about earlier that Paro saw in his stargazing, he was able to tell certain concepts for the future. He was able to see. Who else was involved in stargazing in the Chumash? Do we know? Paro. Who else? Avram Avinu. Excellent. Very good, Dave. Hey, one. Avram Avinu, right? Okay, and there were others.
He was told not to rely on that.
Well, not to rely. Well, the idea, as I understand, it's Agninus.
For agricultural purposes.
No. What I mean to say is what a person sees in stargazing, I forget where I've seen this, is basic concepts, general concepts, not very detailed. So he was able to see that Avram will not have any children, the Rebbe Hashem said, but Avraham will. Here you see it too. Paro saw that there was some blood, an issue with blood in the future, in the Midbar. Oh, you're going to run into problems, right? And the Rebbeinu Shleilam said no. The Rebbeinu Shleilam changed the concept, the symbol of blood, which was seen through the Itzdagninus. He changed it from the blood of destruction, from the blood of death, to the blood of Pesach and Mila. Okay, so that's what it says. B'domayechayi. But the interesting thing is, right? We said it this morning at the Bris. There are two bloods. Yes, we say it twice. But that's the expression B'domayechayi, which is a symbol of death, of blood, that became chayi. That's what number three is here. Kolaymar ha'ois asher hoya mara ledomayich, chas v'shalom, the sign that would have otherwise alluded to death and destruction, hafach Hashem yizbarach l'chaye. That was the, really, we see here now the theme of v'nahapach in Pesach also.
The famous mechalta, right, based on the mechalta, that the Bnei Yisrael didn't have an absolute clue to redemption, Hashem gave them two domains.
Va'at Eirem Ve'eria, yeah. Yeah, we mentioned that. That's one of the things we're trying to bring out here is why the Pesach of all things, why was that chosen as a mitzvah that would then clothe them, right? Okay, so that's really, somewhat in line with what the Rambam said. The Rambam said that which was viewed by the Goyim as a very negative and destructive thing was actually used for a very positive and constructive and protective purposes. So that's very interesting that expression of b'domayechayi, that pasuk, b'domayechayi, with that which is domayech, which symbolizes what one would think is domayech, is destruction, actually became chayi, became life. Okay. Now number four, he says that's why the Pesach, another flavor here to the mitzvah, the Rebbe Hashem commanded us to shech the Pesach. When, David, did we shech the Pesach? What time of day?
In the afternoon.
Specifically in the afternoon. What's the message of that? So number four we have underlined. Ki av shi yigdiru ha-shamayim ba'ovim al ha-shemeh, shahatzlacha shel kol Yisrael, even though, figuratively, the shamayim is covered with clouds and then becomes very dark, so to speak, the shemesh, the bright light of Klal Yisrael, the sun is was not their day, right? It's a time, even if you're in a time, the message is, even if Klal Yisrael finds them in a time where it's very dark, where the light in their life is darkened by clouds, in the future, do not ever give up hope. And that's really what happened in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, it came to the point where it was just, in several ways it happened, right? Where they were just falling they were in the 49th level of Tumah. It was terrible. They thought it was worse than ever. And they thought they would never get out. You should remember the Havtach of the Rebbeinu Shalom, remember the guarantee of the Rebbeinu Shalom. What did the Rebbeinu Shalom say? Famous Pasuk, the Navi, V'af gam zeis b'yaisam b'eretz evem. Even while they are in the lands of their enemies, le'ma'astim, le'yaltim, le'hafabrisi itam, le'chalaisam, le'hafabrisi itam. Right? And then he says here, this is not underlined, it's between 4 and 5, but he says, k'maisha haya b'mitzrayim. Just like what was in Mitzrayim, asher hayu az b'shval ha'matziv, ad mo'id b'gashmiz b'ruchniyiz. We were in terrible straits. We were physically and spiritually in the depths. And still the Rebbeinu Shleilam had tremendous mercy on us. And he took us out from servitude overnight, like that. Yeshua says, Hashem can't refine. from servitude to freedom. V'zeh she'omer mishchu k'chulachem. Draw yourself away. El adar abashachtu ayisai. So that's the mishchu k'chulachem. You should prepare the Pesach. Take it for yourself. It means draw yourself away from the avodah zarah, and use this as a carbon, and rely on the Rabbeinu Shalom, put your faith in the Rabbeinu Shalom, and through that no evil will befall you. So this is also another idea that is specifically Beinu Arbayim, specifically during the afternoon, in order to teach us that lesson, that even when things look terribly bleak, the Rabbeinu Shalom has the ability to pull us out, exactly as it happened in Mitzrayim itself. And number five says, and that's why it says, V'shachtu Eisei Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael. There's a very, very important element here in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that it began with the Korban Pesach, the display of Achdus, the display of unity amongst Klal Yisrael, that the entire Klal, the whole Ummah, the whole Ummah did it together, and thereby it says, Ein Mazel Yisrael. What does it say? Ein Mazel Yisrael. That means the whole nation as a whole is Lamaila. Yisrael is Lamaila Mena Mazel. We're above any Mazel. Whatever is in the cards for us, whatever the celestial signs show, all those things is very nice. But Klal Yisrael is above it all. Now, it just so happens to be, he says a very interesting thing. Aval Haprat Isha Yisraeli Yesh Mazel. You ever notice after by a simcha, what do you do? How do you wish people? Mazel tov. It's a strange thing. We give a guy a bracha mazel tov. And we know that the Jewish people are above mazel. Mazel doesn't dictate anything for the Jewish people. So here he's telling us that which the Jewish people are above mazel means the nation as a whole. The destiny of the nation as a whole is above mazel. It's only a question of will you be able to ride that wave, the wave of Klal Yisrael. Well, how are you supposed to do that? In as much as you keep a connection, as much as you participate with the Jewish people and you do it with unity, then you'll be able to ride that wave. So, that's what he says. Ein adama yachad eisa mitzvah l'rab eisa mitzvah. Chazal say in many places that you can't compare the power of one person doing a mitzvah versus many people. V'schus avaysam misayam, v'schus arabim misayatam. As it says in the Mishnah in Ovis, that the schus of the rabbim help them. Al kei nechel bechabura. Therefore, number six is that's why the Rebbeinu Shem commanded us to eat it as a chabura, as one group. And then he points out a very interesting thing. He goes off on a tangent here, very fascinating. You see this here. He says, and this is the same. Whenever we talk about mitzvahs, when you cannot compare, it's much, much more powerful when a mitzvah is being done by many people. He says this applies to all mitzvahs, but especially to Limud HaTorah. It has to be in a group. That's why my dear friend Drew, I hope he's still there, who's on the phone, He could listen to the recording, but he's not. He may be far away, but he wants to be part of the group. And that's because you cannot compare a mitzvah that's done berabim with many people to a mitzvah that's done with single people. And he's saying with an extra emphasis on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Okay, and that's what it says in the pasuk. Pada b'shal nafshi ki berabim hayu imodi. Okay, chaver ani lechol asher yireucha v'shomrei pikudecha. So he's pointing out that the Rebbeinu Shalom tells us that through the Navi, that the power of doing, especially the Torah, in Arabim is very, very important. And then he points out, I thought this was a little, it was cute the way he throws this in. He says in number nine, it's underlined. And not like you have people. They're written down on the list of people who participate in a particular program. Rak lifnim. Lahakri shema chevra aleim, in order that the name of the group should be considered part of them. I know this with different institutions. People are listed as their officers or board members. You know what I'm talking about, David? You have people who are very active and people that are not very active. In fact, you have institutions where people are much more active and they're not on the board officially, and you have institutions where people are on the board and they're not active at all. But here, especially with learning, they're there on the list so that people should technically they're part of the group. V'yisro rak al asiyum. Unbelievable. Here he says they only show up when they're not there for any of the shurim. Suddenly there's a siyum. Oh, he's there. He's eating. He's enjoying. He's celebrating. I'm part of it. You know, you have that with the Siyam HaShas, right? There are people that start and they learn one or two Masechtas and then they go to the Siyam and pretend as if they finish Shas. So he says, on these people, you could say the B'derech Malitza, he says, is sort of kidding, but the Pasuk from Kehelas, Toiv Achris Dover Mereshisai, is better the end than the beginning, meaning it's for them, it's better, they would say, it's better to be by the Achris Dover, by the Siyam, than to actually be there at the beginning when they're giving the shir, etc. But you can only be Toiv Achris Dover. The Siyam to be a good thing is only Mireshisa. If you're there from the beginning, you're there for the learning, you're there for the... Just thought it was very cute the way he threw that in. So, this should be a chizuk to all the people that partake in this wonderful, wonderful program of a first Seder. That teaches us the mitzvah of Shechitas HaPesach, teaches us, among other ideas, teaches us that the power of learning together as one group, and it should be a big schus for Rabbi Greenspan and all the other people involved. And all the, Amen.